Joining us now, she is a former LPGA Tour player. We love to call her TKO. Therese Colbeck O'Hara joins us. Therese, what's going on?
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing awesome. I'm still a little under the weather, but how are things going for you these days? How's retirement faring?
Oh, retirement from golf. No, it's going good. It's a completely different life I embarked on here, just starting a more regular job, I would say, but it's really fun, and I was ready for the change, so everything's good.
All right, so you were ready for the change, and I guess to some extent, you know, the not having the kind of breakout year in 2017 that you would hope for, you know, maybe the change was also ready for you. Now, are you, you know, when you went into this, going into last season, you had to go to Q school to qualify. You were already contemplating, you know, sort of a what the end of this might look like. When the time came to make the decision, what went into it? I mean, it's so many people hang around longer than they probably should. We see it even just people hanging around on the Symetra Tour. You made what I think is a very intelligent and well thought out decision, but what went into the decision?
Well, like you mentioned, I went to Q school to qualify, and even as I went to Q school, I had in my mind, after being on tour in LPGA in 2015 and then having to go back to Symetra, that year on the Symetra, while I have loved my experience on Symetra, it's a great place to learn and develop, I knew I did not want to go back. So going into Q school, it was kind of, make it or break it. And then when I made it, it was great, and then but I didn't want to go back to Q school. I wanted to earn my card throughout the year. And when I didn't do that, I felt like that was, not the universe, or more so just my game telling me that it was time for a change. And the traveling had worn on me a little bit, and I was ready to be home more. So all of those things combined kind of made the decision very easy.
Now, was there any real, I mean, did you find yourself in a dark place listening to James Taylor albums? I mean, was it? I mean, you moved to this country from Denmark. You go to UNLV. You're obviously pursuing that brass ring at the end of the rainbow, as I mix my metaphors. But was it or was it just the right time?
I felt like it was the right time. I didn't have those sad and teary moments. I've never cried a lot over golf, because I always knew there was a life outside. It's what I enjoyed to do, but it's not who I am. It's what I do. And so I loved it. But there were definitely moments throughout the season that were just a little tougher, like having to go to the airport again and being gone for 3 weeks, missing three cuts in a row. And I'm like, why am I here? What am I doing, away from my husband with all this traveling? And all the, like, while it's super fun, there are a lot of sacrifices that come along, too. So it wasn't a lot of sad moments, just kind of some reflection and then, in a way, kind of clarity that maybe my time as a golfer was kind of nearing its end.
Was it still fun, or was it becoming not fun, just having to grind week in and week out to kind of survive?
I mean, definitely. I guess the grind takes over, especially when you have, you know, periods where your game's not on and you keep missing cuts, and not to mention it's very expensive, that part of it too. So definitely has its moment when it's more of a grind than fun. But in general, I've always loved golf, and I've always loved playing competitively, and I knew the moment it wasn't fun anymore, I wouldn't be playing, and it wasn't, I guess, me having fun and enjoying golf that ended my career. Was just not delivering enough. And like I said, being ready to be more home and not travel so much and have the crazy schedule that we do have.
Well, okay, so you're in the season, and you played 30, 33 events. Was there a point at which you said, okay, well, I now know that this, I'm not going to catch that lightning in the jar that I'd hoped for. And it just sort of loosened up and were able to enjoy the ride at the end? Or did it remain sort of a frustrating quest throughout?
No, I just made sure, like, I was really good, I think, at enjoying it along the way. And of course, those thoughts of, you know, came in the kind of the early summer months after the first half or the first big chunk of the season where I wasn't you know, in the position I wanted to be in and not performing the way I wanted to. But I always, I think I was good at making sure to enjoy it and knowing that it was, in a way, on borrowed time and getting the most out of it.
No, on a lighter
note,
there
were a lot of fun moments.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Were you able to, you know, sort of, when you're out there on the road, visit some places that you might have not visited, you know, had you been putting in the extra 2 hours or whatever on the rent, and you were able to, you know, visit restaurants and museums or whatever kinds of things that you like to do on the road when you're a little more relaxed and really enjoy it?
No, I wouldn't say I started slacking because I still gave it my all, even after the last tournament, because, you know, a top 10 even it might be unlikely, but it can happen. So mm-hmm. I still put in the full effort. But it was also just, I guess, a realism about it that, if it didn't happen, then it might be time for something else. So it's not that I guess, took it for granted and just played for fun out there this season. Not at all. I gave it a good shot or the best I could.
Well, we're talking to our good friend Therese Colbeck O'Hara, the TKO, played here in Charlotte in the Symmetra Tour and on the LPGA Tour for 2 years, decided to retire, which is way too young to retire, and had to find another career. And when you did so, I mean, you know, golf teaches us a lot of things. And I think a lot of golfers think that, you know, they need to apply those immediate lessons to become a teaching pro or to work at a club or to work in a resort. You've gone in a little different direction.
Yeah. So if my name's James Bond and I have a couple hundred thousand dollars, I mean, and I'm looking for a car. I mean, is there anything you can recommend?
Then come see me.
Anything you can recommend?
Yeah. So how do you end up a brand ambassador and a sales representative at an Aston Martin dealership? And seriously, are there lessons you learned in golf that are translatable to the sales community?
Oh, I think absolutely. Well, first off, to how I guess I ended up in that position, it's just funny how life works out. And when I was done with golf, I wasn't looking for that job in the golf industry. I was kind of looking for something I would love that could be outside golf too, because the few positions you mentioned, I just knew that wouldn't want to be, or it wasn't my dream. And then, you know, circumstances of how life works out, and it just ended up at Aston Martin dealership, and then working with cars. So I never in a million years thought that would happen. But as far as applying skills, I think there's a lot of sales actually in a way in golf. Just when we, entertain clients at various pro-ams and whatnot, it's about selling a good experience. And that's what I kind of can draw on a lot from the golf world, for sure.
Does the sales manager ever say, okay, I want you to play a girl, and if you can beat her, we'll give you the car for free?
Yeah. No, maybe he has confidence in me, but I don't know about that. But yeah.
So now,
no, but it's great. You know, he knows. So my boss was actually an Olympic athlete, and not golf, but so he knows what the grind and the hard work and dedication, and that's why he ended up hiring me. And I actually have my tour bag standing in my office at work, because a lot of our clients play golf, and it's
A
great little conversation starter.
Yeah,
so.
a lot of people want to hire former athletes because athletes know how to work. They know how to be part of a team, even if they're playing an individual sport. Mm-hmm. They know how to deal with people, and really, you know how hard you can push them because they've been pushed. They're not snowflakes, as we like to say. And I think in this case, I certainly imagine that you're able to translate, like you said, the time at pro-ams and at pro-am parties and things like that. But did you know anything about cars?
No. So
that's even better.
My husband, I know a little bit because my husband is a wild car enthusiast, and he actually works for the same company at Penske Automotive, and we all are part works with is Lamborghini, Bentley, Rolls Royce, Aston Martin, and Bugatti. So we all sell those, and just him being a car fanatic, I learned a little bit through him. But in the last month, I've sure learned more than I ever knew about the exotic cars.
Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't win one of those Kias on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even let you park a Kia at that dealership.
Although I do actually drive a Kia, and I love it, but it might take me a few years.
Do they make you park it around the corner? Yeah, do they make you park it around the corner?
Yeah, out of sight.
Yeah. Can you? We'll pay for you to Uber to work. Don't put that key in our lot.
And have you met Roger Penske yet?
I have not. He came by the dealership, I think, the second day I was in work, but didn't stop by inside. So, yeah, I've yet to have that pleasure. So.
Yeah. So what's the hardest thing about, you know, making this career shift and going forward? I mean, you know, where do you go? What do you do next? I mean, what are the things that, you know, if you were a goal setter for golf and golf tournaments, I mean, what do you do for goals in terms mm-hmm. of the new job?
I have some goals and performance goals and stuff like that, but I've only been working there for a month. So for me, it's still just adapting and learning. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my dog in the background.
I'm
still learning and adapting and getting a feel of everything this new job entails. So it's hard for me to really, I feel like, set full goals yet. In a few months, hopefully I'll be more settled in and know what to expect and all that stuff.
So when was the last time you played golf?
I played golf Thanksgiving, but yeah, it's crazy. I've only played 27 holes since my last tournament in New Zealand.
And what did you find? Was it fun? Was it different? Were you out there just for a social round? Was it a business round?
Oh, just social, yeah. No, it's really fun. It's different because, yeah, it used to be work, and now you put a little more, I guess, energy into knowing, make sure you got everything out of it, even if just being a social round, and now it's purely just for fun. So it's definitely different, but I enjoy it. I love the sport, and I always will. So it was fun to play, but just, you know, being a full-time employee now doesn't leave as much time for golf as I had before, that's for sure.
Yeah, get used to that. Well, I'm curious. You've now gone sort of full circle in the world of golf, and what kind of advice would you give to our listeners who have children and grandchildren who are getting into the sport? You know, we see a lot of overemphasis. We see a lot of kids who, they become single sport athletes very, very early. What kind of advice, having been there now, you know, I've got shoes that are older than you, but you can offer the sage wisdom here. So what kind of advice do you have for young golfers and families with golfers in them about how to manage their way through the junior realm all the way up through college and trying to make a career of it?
It's a tough one, but for me, I enjoyed several sports, so I wasn't only golf growing up, and that was the main focus and a lot of kind of pressure on that. I just played for fun, enjoyed it. I loved going out with my parents or having, like, they have junior camps at my club back in Denmark, and I loved getting better, but I also played other sports, so it wasn't as serious until later on, so I guess that's something that worked for me. I don't know if it worked for everybody, but I don't think you need to, I guess, from an early age, put that much pressure on golf being what's going to, you know, get your kids that career as a professional athlete. It could be many things. So it's just, and like you guys said before, golf teaches so many amazing lessons that has nothing to do with sports per se that you can use throughout your life. And even if you end up playing professionally or not, it's, in the business world, it'll always be an asset to be able to play golf, I think.
Oh, for sure. And I think in the case of sales, being able to self-govern yourself, you know, when you mm-hmm. no shortcuts for you on selling those Aston Martins.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Free formats for everyone.
Or the Bugatti one. I just found a Bugatti one on the orange and black one online. I think that's totally me.
All right, we'll have her put in an order with the Bugatti folks for
put
that
in
one.
In an order, yeah.
The super sport. So anyway, well, Therese, we always enjoy talking to you, and we're sad to see you leave the golfing world, but we know you haven't left it that far behind. But
no.
Good luck to you as you go forward, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you guys so much, and thanks for having me on.